world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
This week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, Diane shares some slightly underhanded tricks you can use to persuade your parents to get their hearing checked, plus unraveling the mysteries of Medicare. Well, sort of.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. I got an email this week from Audrey from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and she lives out of state in a different state than her mom, and her dad had died last year. And she said she went to visit her mom, and she sees all these envelopes with medical bills piling up, second notices from doctors, hospitals. And she said to me, "I don't understand. I asked my mom, 'Don't you have Medicare?' And she said, 'My mom said yes.' And she said, 'I don't understand why she's, you know, has all these hospital bills or doctor bills.' So, you know, I tried to explain to her that Medicare, everyone just assumes because Medicare is a federally run program that it covers everything. It covers all health care costs. And you think your mom goes on Medicare and she has no bills, no medical bills. You know, mom and dad have paid taxes all those years, so their medical care is free. But unfortunately, that isn't true. Medicare does have monthly premiums, certain parts of Medicare. They have co-payments and deductibles. And your mom or dad's costs depend on what plan they have. It's very different today. There's so many different plans. It depends where they live and what medical services they're using. So I'm just briefly kind of going to touch on Medicare just to give you an idea if you're not familiar, and just to make you more familiar with it and realize what you can do if you find that maybe the plan your mom has isn't right for her. So Medicare, what is it? It's an insurance plan offered by the federal government for U.S. citizens that are 65 years and older. And it's also for people with disabilities and permanent kidney failure. But for our purposes, it's just going to be for mom or dad. Who qualifies? You have to be 65 years and older. You have to be a U.S. citizen. And you had to have, you or your spouse had to have a qualifying work history. And what is that? You have to have worked 10 years and paid into the Medicare Trust Fund. It could be mom or dad. And, you know, way back when, of course, a lot of moms didn't work, so they get their dad's Medicare benefits or dad's Social Security. So when you're covered for Medicare, your medical bills are paid from the trust fund that you've paid into through the Medicare payroll tax. Is coverage automatic when you turn 65? Not always. If you don't receive that red, white, and blue Medicare card about 3 months before your 65th birthday, you have to sign up for Medicare health benefits. Can you enroll at any time? If you don't enroll within the initial enrollment period, you may be subject to penalties and higher premiums for late enrollment. There's an initial enrollment period, which starts 3 months before your 65th birthday month and goes 3 months after that birthday month. There's a general enrollment period. So if you miss that initial enrollment period, there's a general enrollment period, January 1st through March 31st of each year. But then your coverage doesn't begin until July 1st. And you may be subject to penalties and higher premiums. And just to confuse you even more, there's an annual election period, but this is important. It runs from October 15th through December 7th of every year. And this is the period where you can add change or drop your current coverage. You can switch plans. So this is the important period. If you come to find that mom or dad's plan isn't exactly what they need, here's where you can add to it or switch plans or drop certain things. So Medicare beneficiaries get their health coverage in two ways. Original Medicare, which is run by the government, or what they call Medicare Advantage plans, which is Part C of Medicare. That's offered through Medicare contracted private insurance companies, where you get everything under one plan, but a private insurance company handles your Medicare. So when you're first eligible, you're signing up for Original Medicare, which is made up of two parts. Part A is your hospital coverage, and Part B is your medical coverage. So Part A, Original Medicare, it's your hospital insurance. It covers your hospital expenses. It also covers your after-hospital care. If you remember, we talked about in previous shows, your rehab, your in a skilled nursing facility. So that's Part A. It also covers hospice care. Hospice care, if your doctor says, you know, that your parent is terminal, which means they have 6 months or less to live, hospice services are covered, which include your doctor, your nurse visits, a home health aid through hospice, physical therapy, occupational therapy, prescriptions for symptoms to be controlled, and limited short-term respite care for family or caregiver. You know, if a person's on hospice and they're home, they may be able to go into a skilled nursing facility for a week to give the family a break or a weekend. It just depends. Also under Part A, it's eligible home health services. If you need a blood transfusion, it'll cover the cost of the blood. Home health services could include a home health aide, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. You automatically get Part A for free, where there's no monthly premium, if you've qualified, you worked long enough to qualify for Social Security benefits. And that is 10 years or 40 quarters of employment where you've paid into those payroll taxes for Medicare. Now, if mom or dad didn't work, you know, for those 10 years or didn't qualify, you can sign up for Part A, but you'll have to pay a monthly premium. You will, with Part A, most likely have deductibles and copays. When we say Part A covers hospital costs, it has to be hospital inpatient costs. Today, there's clarification. Just because you go to the hospital and you stay overnight, it doesn't necessarily mean you are an inpatient. So you must be formally admitted with a doctor's order. Again, Part A will cover rehab if you have a qualifying hospital stay. What is that qualifying hospital stay, according to Medicare? 3 consecutive days resulting from a formal inpatient admission ordered by your doctor. Part B. So in Original Medicare, Part B covers medically necessary outpatient services. You have to sign up for Part B, and there are monthly premiums for Part B, which are deducted from your mom's Social Security check. What Part B covers: doctors, labs, x-rays, outpatient surgeries, ambulance, durable medical equipment, diabetic supplies. It covers physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, maybe. There's limited prescription coverage, maybe certain types of medications that have to be administered by doctors, like an infusion or injectable drugs. There's very few preventative services, but it does cover, for instance, flu shots, your yearly checkup, or cancer screenings. When we say physical therapy as part of your Part B, as part of your home health coverage, that's services in the home. It's very part-time. You may get a physical therapist to come out twice a week for maybe 3 weeks. If the doctor orders you to go to outpatient physical therapy, Medicare Part B may cover 80% of the medically approved cost of outpatient physical therapy or speech therapy, occupational therapy. There's caps or limits on physical therapy, and there's also deductibles, and you may have copays. Now, once you're enrolled in Part A or B, and or B, you don't have to have Part B if you don't want, but most people do get A and B. There are options. You can have what we call Part C or Medicare Advantage plans. So what Part C is it provides the benefits that you get through original Medicare, but it's provided through a private insurance company. So in addition, some of these Medicare Advantage plans may cover some dental, vision, hearing care, prescription, but many of these Advantage plans, they're like HMOs, so they have networks. So you can only go to certain hospitals. You can only go to certain doctors. You may have to change your doctor. The hospital that you might have picked that we had talked about, the rehab that you might have picked, there's a certain network of providers. You're going to pay monthly premiums and copays. But some of these plans may not require that 3-day hospital admission before you go to rehab. So it's kind of confusing. It's you're still enrolled in Medicare, but you're getting your coverage through a private insurance. And typically you're getting everything in one shot, which people like. Now, because you're dealing with a private insurance company, not to say the federal government is flexible, but these insurance plans may not be flexible. But if there's a service that is not paid for or you think should be covered or continued, you can ask the plan to do so. Of course, if they don't, there's always that appeal process, which, you know, you need all the time in the world to do that, but there is that option for you. Now we have Part D Medicare, which you don't get automatically. You don't have to sign up for. Your parents don't have to get. But this is where prescription drugs can be covered. There is a monthly premium for this also. So when you have those Medicare Advantage plans, typically you have what's considered Part A, Part B, and D. So here, when you have original Medicare, which is Part A and B, typically people pick up this separate prescription plan. It's a standalone drug benefit. But what you have to make sure is that the drugs your parents are on are covered. And the plans that you may choose list what drugs are covered. But of course, the drugs can be dropped from the list. Now, what I tell people, if the drugs aren't covered, you can ask your doctor. Maybe there's a generic or a substitute that is covered. You can ask the insurance company for an exception, you know, but your doctor, of course, would have to write and you'd have to appeal that. You can, of course, switch to a different drug plan, but you have to do that in that period of October through December. Now, sometimes, you know, if you have no other option because, you know, it's, you know, March or April and you can't switch, you know, without being penalized, you can see if the drug company go on their website and see. They may have payment assistance. You know, your parent may qualify for, you know, paying $10 a month for the drug, or it may be free. Always go on the drug manufacturer's website to see. Medicare, also, they have supplements, what they call Medigaps. Now, these today go from Part F all the way to Part N. I mean, we're going to go through the whole alphabet at some point. It is crazy. It is confusing. You need a PhD to maneuver Medicare today. But these Medigap policies help pay out the out-of-pocket costs that aren't covered in original Medicare. They may help cover copays, deductibles. If your parents travel, they may cover emergency overseas benefits. what surprises people, what is not covered by original Medicare, long-term care, nursing home care is not covered by Medicare, other than going into that, you know, skilled nursing facility for rehab. So, you know, if your parent is going to be in a nursing home, Medicare does not cover that. It doesn't cover routine hearing tests or hearing aids. It doesn't cover routine vision care, so eye exams, glasses, dental, routine dental screenings, cleanings, dentures. It doesn't cover routine foot care. If your parent has to go to a podiatrist to get their toenails clipped, it doesn't cover home modifications, grab bars in the bathroom, medical alert systems. It doesn't cover acupuncture or chiropractic care as well. And there are coverage limits. What I tell people, if you know you discover that, or your mom and dad says, wow, this plan is not good for me, I should have, you know, opted for something else, especially if they bought a plan many years ago, the best thing to do, the best people to contact, and I had mentioned this organization before, is SHIP, State Health Insurance Assistance Program. You can call them. They're in every state. Call them. You can, if you're in the area, when you're in the area, you can visit. You can, it's free. They can maneuver you through all the different plans, tell you what your mom and dad have now, what might be better for them. You can go on their website. It's shiptacenter.org. Of course, you can go on the Medicare.gov website. You can go on mymedicarematters.org. You can call Medicare. that you know, you can call them. You can talk to someone there. But my opinion, the best thing to do is to talk to a SHIP coordinator, because they can help you, and they're in every state. They can answer any questions you have for them. When we come back from the break, why won't they get their hearing checked?
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubble gum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once. There never seems to be enough hours in the day. And no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedX Home Care, and for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours grow older together.
And you can find more about MedX Home Care at MedXHomeCare.com. I hope you weren't driving during that first segment. I should have warned you. But this is why our healthcare system is so crazy. I mean, you can't even understand. We have so many letters in the alphabet on Medicare. It's crazy. So this is why we need healthcare reform today. But this is what I do all day. So if you need, you know, if you need anything, please call me if you have any concerns. But if you, you know, the SHIP volunteers, the SHIP organization is a wonderful organization because that's what they do all day. You know, all these different Medicare programs, and they even can help with Medicaid, if you know, which is a whole nother show. And I'll warn you before that show so that you're not driving and running into a pole because you got so frustrated. So my parents have visited Mother's Day, Father's Day, and we were having dinner with them. And I said to my dad, "Dad, would you like a roll?" And he said to me, "No, I'm not cold." So, and this seems, I seem to be noticing this happens with both of them a little bit more and more. You know, they're not really hearing exactly what I'm saying. And I'm looking at them like, what? So if you kind of are getting frustrated with your parents, or you feel like you're in the middle of an Abbott and Costello routine, you're not alone. You find that they might be misunderstanding what you're saying, or if you have to keep repeating yourself or almost shouting. Or I notice with my mom, she has to look at me. You know, I think my mom and dad, I think they're looking at me and they're reading my lips sometimes in the conversation. Or that my father isn't, when we're sitting there, sometimes he's not in the conversation or he's not saying anything. And it's not because he's not interested, I know that, but he's not understanding what we're saying. So, you know, if you've suggested to your mom and dad, you know, maybe you better get your hearing checked. And I know they're giving you the look like, are you crazy? There's nothing wrong with my hearing. But you're not alone. Because most elderly people, they don't even know they have a problem. The change comes gradually over the years. It comes on so gradually that they don't even notice it, and they've adapted to it. So when you comment on it, they just look at you like you're crazy. My parents, I hear a lot of times, they'll say, "I couldn't understand the person. I couldn't understand what she's saying. She was mumbling." And the problem is, they can hear, they just can't understand. It sounds like somebody's mumbling. And that's because in the English language, the high frequency ranges are our consonants. So they're not hearing the sounds, the S's or the TH's. The consonants are getting mixed up. So it sounds like people are mumbling. They, you know, your parents may not be able to hear in noisy places, or they don't understand people with high pitched voices, or certain sounds seems loud to them. And they just think, you know, if you have a mother and father and they live together, they compensate for each other. Or they just think, "Oh, it's fine. I can hear. I hear what I want to hear." You'll hear that a lot. There's no single cause of age-related hearing loss, but there's changes in the inner ear as we grow older. And there are other factors that may contribute to age-related hearing loss. Family history. Hearing loss, age-related, tends to run in families. We talked about this, repeated exposure to loud noises. Smoking. Smokers are more likely to have age-related hearing loss than non-smokers. Certain medical conditions, diabetes, and certain prescriptions, so chemotherapy drugs. But even mild hearing loss can, number one, cause falls. Hearing loss can lead to falls. Ears play a big role in balance. And our parents don't realize that. And that's one of the big points we have to point out. Even mild hearing loss can triple the risk of falling. So they don't realize their balance is affected. I have a client, she's 97 years old, and she's very, very, very hard of hearing. And lately, you know, she keeps falling, and everybody's saying, "Well, she's 97, you know, she can't hear, but we don't know why she keeps falling." And I say, "Has anybody taken her to an audiologist?" "Well, she's gone to her doctor, but general practitioners aren't putting you through hearing tests. They're not, you know, they may look in your ears, but they're not checking you for hearing loss." So what I tell people to do, you know, if you're with mom or dad, stop being their hearing aid for them. Stop, you know, telling them what they're not hearing or what they're not understanding. Because what happens is they say, "What?" And you repeat it. So if you stop doing that, I also tell the older person, your mom or dad, I say, write down every time you say "what." What did he say? What did she say? Write it down every time when you're watching TV and you're not hearing. And you'll be surprised. You're going to have a book of times if you're being truthful. So I say, you know, come on, let's just make an appointment with an audiologist. You know, maybe it's just you have wax buildup, or maybe it's a medication you're on, you know, because they'll say, I'm not wearing those hearing aids. And I say to people, well, you know what? Look at all these kids and teenagers walking around with things coming out of their ears. You're going to be in style. You're going to look just like one of them, and they're going to think you're one of the cool kids. Because unfortunately, the bigger the hearing device, the better the sound you get out of it. You know, I know it's a vanity thing with people, but, and I know it's a cost issue sometimes with our parents, but all these audiologists, they have payment plans because Medicare doesn't cover the hearing aids, but they have payment plans for hearing aids. And don't take someone else's hearing aids. They're tweaked individually. I know people who do that, you know. You know, my husband died 5 years ago, so here's his hearing aids. Well, they're not going to work, you know, for your neighbor. And a lot of times people get frustrated if they do get hearing aids. They'll say, these didn't work for me. They'll try them once and say, I couldn't hear right. Well, they have to be tweaked. And they have to be tweaked maybe, you know, a few times. So don't get frustrated with them. There is an art to programming them. When I was prepping for this segment of the show, I thought of my Aunt Emily. And my Aunt Emily and Uncle Pat, they were my aunt and uncle. And my aunt could not get my uncle to go to the doctor for his hearing. He was, you know, she kept having to repeat herself and he kept saying, what? So she said, I got so tired of doing that. So what she would do is when they were watching television and he would go, you know, go into the kitchen to get something to eat, she'd lower the volume. She'd put the no sound and then he'd come out and she'd be watching the television with no sound. And he would say to her, can you hear this? And she said, yeah, I could hear it fine. Why? You can't hear it? And then she would talk to him and just mouth, not have any sound come out. So that, and he would say, what did you say? And she kept saying to him, I told you, you have to go get your hearing checked. So that he would think, oh my God, I can't even hear her talk. And she did that for about a week. And then she was able to get him to go because he's like, oh my God, I really can't hear. And I could hear some people, but I can't hear all the people. Sometimes I could hear the television, sometimes I can't. She would do it with the radio. She would just do it with whatever she could find just to get him to go. It's no wonder my sister's always saying, Diane, we could be a lot more screwed up than we are coming from this family. I did want to talk to you because I know I talk to people, and especially people taking care of their parents, there's a lot of myths about stress. And sometimes what your husband or your friend or I may tell you to do about stress isn't going to help you. And there's myths about stress that, number one, stress is the same for all of us, and not at all. We all react differently to different things. What triggers stress for one person doesn't necessarily trigger it for another. And how we react to stress, some of us withdraw, we get anxious, we lose our temper. So we have to find what that trigger is for us and what helps us individually. Number two, stress is everywhere, so we have to live with it. And yeah, today, you know, there is a lot of stress for all of us. And it is everywhere because we see it everywhere and because we take ourselves with us everywhere. So we just think, okay, well, we just have to accept it. No, you again have to develop something that works for you. Figure out what works for you, you know, and you have to do it every day. You know, for me, sometimes I'm like, I just have to finish this one thing. You know, it's 7:30 at night and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired, but I just have to finish this one thing. No, it's not something that's an emergency. No, I have to just stop what I'm doing and just go and do something that helps me relieve stress. And number three, stress is not always bad. You know, in certain situations, stress is a survival mechanism, fight or flight, the fight or flight response. It's a motivator sometimes to get things done. This is a really big one, number four. the most popular strategies to really reduce stress are the ones that are going to work best. No, again, it has to be what works for you. I, at the end of each show, give you a survival tip of the week, and it's usually a stress reducer. But, you know, for me, one of them is gardening, playing in the dirt. Well, you're not going to get me to go garden. If I have to garden, that's going to be more stressful for me. So, you know, sometimes if we're telling people do something, it's going to be more stressful, and we don't want to do that. It has to be something that works for you. Number five, if there's no symptoms, there's no stress. No, just because you don't see or feel the symptoms, it doesn't mean that you're not undergoing stress. Over time, chronic stress will eventually cause your mind and body to start wearing out. It could take years, but you don't want to do that. So you want to not, you know what's going to stress you, and you have to alleviate it each day. You have to try to reduce stress each day. And just because you're not suffering from the effects or you don't think you are, you have to still deal with it each day. And number six, only major symptoms of stress require attention. No. You know, you're tired, you have a headache. No, those are warning signs. So, again, you find your own stress management way, your own stress way to reduce stress, and you do it every day. And you know, when I tell, we have a lot of people like ourselves, they're caring for their parents every day. And, you know, we say to you, you need a respite. Now, what kind of respite or how long the respite is, you need a break. It may just be you have to go for a walk for a half hour. It may be you want to go shopping for 2 hours. You may want to take the day off. You may want a weekend off. You may want a week off. It's got to be something that works for you. And that's what's important, because that's the only way you're going to start to reduce the stress. You know, for me, and I don't do it, and I know what's a good stress reducer for me. For me, I need to go to a beach with a book and a bottle of water, no phone, no companionship. And that's that. Just sit there and just read a book. And read a book that I don't have to really, you know, use my brain. Just read one of those novels. You know, that's the thing that helps me. And I know it does. But do I do it? No. Do I do it every day? No. But that's something that's good for me. You know, when I go on vacation, that's what I want to do. But you know what? I can bring that vacation with me every day, but I don't do it. So, and you know, a lot of times our spouses or our friends will say, well, this is what you need to do. No, you know what you need to do. You know what triggers you and what you need to do to reduce the stress in your life. And for your survival tip of the week, do it badly. The way we cope and handle things, of course, directly impacts how much anxiety we experience. So we have to tweak the way we cope and reduce our anxiety level. So there was a study at the University of Cambridge that came up with this coping skill. If you're feeling overwhelmed or you're not in control or you can't make a decision, you're anxious, one way to get going is, we all have projects that we put off. Start that new project and do it badly. Could we wait to do stuff perfectly? We wait for the right time, the perfect time. So that leads to procrastination. It leads to long delays. Sometimes we don't do it at all, but it's hanging in our minds. Oh my gosh, I haven't gotten to that. And that causes stress. It causes anxiety. So why not just start doing it and do it badly? And don't worry about how it turns out. And what do? You discover usually that you're really not doing it that badly. And even if you are, you can fine-tune it later. There's nothing, you know, nothing of an emergency situation. You know, if you got to clean out your garage, okay, just start it. You don't care. Do it badly. It may not be perfect. So this study found that using that motto, doing it badly, gives you courage to try new things. It adds a little fun to everything because you're not so much worried about the outcome. It's all about doing it badly today and improving as you go. It's all about feeling free and liberated. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them about it. Tell them to subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we talked about in today's show, episode 15, at parentsarehardtoraise.org. I'm here to help you, so please tell me if there's something you're struggling with, and I'll try my best to include it in future shows. You can reach me through my website, DianeBerardi.com. That's Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week. Okay, time to clean out the garage. Badly.